Welcome to Strength for the Journey. Thanks for joining us again. Strength for the Journey is a radio program designed to strengthen the believer for the days that lie ahead. We have a website at strength with a number 4thejourney.com, and this is radio program number 88 if you're listening by shortwave radio. Tonight I have a very special guest with me in the studio, and I'll introduce him in just a moment, but I just want to make a mention that we do have the 170,000 Chick Tracks that have been ordered, and they're boxed up and ready to ship, be put on a boat, and they'll be here in a couple of weeks. And we're really excited about this, and thank you all that have donated for that purpose. And so now the next purpose is we'll be going out and taking them to various nations. I think right now we're scheduled to go to the Dominican Republic in December and Colombia in January, and we'll be doing evangelistic crusades. Before I got in the studio here, I just visited with another pastor. We're doing an outreach this coming Saturday, and it's an anniversary of a city nearby that has lots of people, so we're going to be out ministering and passing out lots of tracts during that time. So these are just opportunities that are coming our way, and we want to take advantage of all the opportunities. Tonight I have my father in the studio with me, and his name is Bob Foote. Thank you, Dad. So I have my dad was a fellow traveler with Charles and Francis Hunter. I got saved through their ministry back in 1986, and my father was very influential in that happening. He shared with me some experiences that he'd seen and seen miracles, and I had to go see it for myself, and that's what got me. It's when I found out that God was real, that he was worthy of giving my life to him, and that's how my whole life began to change back in 1986. But something very interesting thing happened was that I began to take pictures on their, just to go to their crusades. My dad had a video camera. He took video work. And it began about an eight-year travel experience together. And we traveled with Charles and Francis Hunter for about 8 years doing their video work. Actually, my father did much longer. And so Dad had a life-changing experience, too. He was wondering if these miracles were really real. He'd heard testimonies, and he was so curious he had to go find out for himself.
That's right. That's very true.
So he went to a crusade. I think the first one was in St. Louis, Missouri, with my brother Bob. And it was really interesting. My brother's testimony, I was at a party. I wasn't saved at the time, and he told me about this experience. He saw people getting slain in the spirit. In fact, he got laid out, and he just went down the floor of this arena to get someone to pray for his eyes. And he said the next thing he knew, he was laying flat on his back. He couldn't get off the floor for 10 minutes. He said he felt like someone's hand was on his chest and wouldn't let him off the floor. And I said, well, you know, I'm not going to call you a liar, but I have to see that for myself. So, and that's what happened, is that I had to go see it for myself. And I took a friend of mine that was very sick. He had stomach ulcers and torn ligaments in his elbow. And he had been thrown up for a couple of weeks straight. Couldn't lift any, he could hardly move his arm. And when an ordinary believer prayed for him in the name of Jesus, he was completely healed. And he was like my personal guinea pig at this meeting in Detroit, Michigan, a month later. And this is where my life began to change. And as I cried out to God, I said, God, if you're real, show me a sign. And I kind of threw the ball up in his court. And suddenly when my friend was healed, it's like the ball dropped back in my court. And I hear these words, your move. And I had to make some decisions in my life about where I was going to go and what I was going to do with this information that I knew God was real. And I thought about it for a moment. I thought, you know, if God had taken care of me all these years, I didn't care about him. And I did my own thing, didn't regard his ways. I thought if he loved me enough to keep me alive up to this point in time in my life, when I was 29 years old, I thought, you know, how much more could he love me and take care of me if I put my life in his hands? And so that was a decision point for me. And I know your whole life changed just because you'd grown up in a Presbyterian church and never seen anything like that, knew anything, didn't know about the Holy Spirit.
That's true, and I didn't really know anything until I was an elder in the Presbyterian church, and I just didn't know anything about the healing ministry or anything. I just never heard of it. And so when a lady came, I was going to a Methodist church, and a lady came who was Miss America, and she said that in her talk, she said, "And the Lord healed me My one leg was 2 inches short. And so I said, well, no, that's impossible. You can't do that, you know. And so I just went along with those thoughts. But then I heard on driving my car one day, I drove down the road in the local town I was in and said, come and learn how to heal a sick. And I said, well, learn how to heal a sick. I better check this out. So I went there, and that's when it all started. And I just learned how to do this with the Hill Hunter Ministries, and it was just a blessing to me. And I had the opportunity to videotape. And so I went to a Chicago meeting, and many things happened, and there was no videotaping, a recording of what was happening. And so I decided, well, I've got to have a camera. So I got a small toy, like video camera, and I was off on the side like a mouse, and Charles Hunter said, get out of the middle of the floor on a tripod in the center and do a good job. And so that's when it all started.
And that was actually, I think that was in Fargo, North Dakota.
North Dakota.
And we went there, and I took my camera just because I wanted to be able to show my friends that these miracles were actually happening. So it's really interesting as I took my camera just for my own personal use, and the person that was normally traveling with them each meeting couldn't travel, and they're getting ready to go overseas. And the Lord had put on my heart to get out of debt, and I was selling my treasures, my restored cars to get out of debt. I didn't know why. I just felt like God said, get out of debt. So I did. And then I got a phone call one night from Frances Hunter, and she said that this person that normally couldn't travel a week or two at a time because of work conflict in her schedule, and they just said that if we covered your expenses, could you take off work and be able to travel? And so that's how my experience happened, took place, being able to take the 35 millimeter shots. And then, of course, then you began to take the video work. So we just got to travel all the world for about 8 years together.
Yeah, you know, with trouble, I think we started in 1986. And the last one I was involved in was the 2004 final meeting with the Hunters in the Astrodome in Houston, and it turned out that they had a very expensive system to videotape and to record the sound and all, but something happened to the sound, and here I am down my camera, which the lower was not on a nice big platform and so forth, but they used my tape because the other one didn't have sound, so that was...
So they paid for all... They got the most expensive equipment to do the best job, and you were the guy of the backup.
The backup, and they used it. That was great.
Well, that was exciting. You know, something very interesting has happened, of course, here in Panama, and that is, you know, you're here now, but about 3 years ago, a little over 3 years ago, 3.5 years ago, the Lord had spoke to me to come to Panama, and I didn't know really why. I just felt like we were supposed to come for an exploratory visit, and so I just told you about it, and here you were, I guess 3 years ago, you were 90 years old at the time, and said, well, I want to go too.
Yeah.
I'm sitting there going, I'm thinking to myself, seriously, you want to go?
Yeah.
So you came along, and something very exciting happened because when we were here, we got a confirmation that this is where we were to come, and you've been back and forth a little bit. We came permanently here 3 years ago. But something that has been on your heart for the last, for a long time now, is to teach the healing class. And we'd done this for many years back at a church in Dallas. But you've never lost that fire to train others how to pray for the sick.
No, in my heart, I knew I was supposed to come down here and teach this course. And we did the one episode in Dallas, and it turned out that they wanted to have other things after that. They wanted to have financial whatever, and they didn't have room for the How to Heal a Sick class. But now down here, people are really gung-ho to learn and to be able to do this, and it's exciting.
Yeah, this is, you know, what's really interesting is that I know you've been trying to get your church involved to learn how to minister to others. And the purpose of the miracles is that so people would believe in Jesus, that he is who he said he was. And that's what happened to me. You know, if you can lay hands on somebody, pray in the name of Jesus, and they get well, there's something happened when, you know, it's not in the name of Buddha or Muhammad, it's the name of Jesus. And so this is what really hit me as an unbeliever. That was the big witness, was the power of God, seeing the power of God displayed from an ordinary believer. And I believe this is what God is trying to do in many of us right now, is that he wants us to see It wants us to demonstrate the power of God. And this has been a passion of yours for many years. And it's interesting that there's just not much interest in the United States to really learn how to minister, how to pray for the sick, and how to really go out and be a witness. But something very interesting happened here. You know, you've had this desire to start a class here, and we put together one, my wife Ramsey and you, and something very exciting happened last night. The very first class that was held, I think close to 20 people showed up, and afterwards it got kind of exciting because we asked if some people needed prayer for anything, and so one of them showed up and then came forward. And
well, the thing was, we had the people in the class, but they didn't leave when we said, okay, thank you for coming and all. They just stayed because we were practicing healing on anybody that might need it. So it was just fantastic. The people that came forward and they were healed, and it was just exciting to that nobody left. Everybody wanted to stay and see what happened.
So here's a 93-year-old man leading this class, and there's many miracles that took place. There's back problems, scoliosis. I just remember one person, just many people, when they got healed, they were just in tears just because their pain was gone. I didn't realize how many people were in pain that came to the class. One person had a tumor on her breast, and after she was prayed for, I think got prayed for twice, but went back and checked, and the tumor was gone. And so God did some amazing things last night. I know one lady was delivered from some demonic spirit that was there. So, I mean, it was God's power was being manifested last night.
Know, what was exciting to me was there was a lady came with an inch short leg. And so I was said, I waved my hands for everybody to come down and look. And as I had my hands on the legs, they was zoom, they came together, and I didn't say a word.
Well, their back straightened up, and then their legs evened out right in front of everybody. So they got to see the demonstration of God's power.
Well, it's the fact that when you lay your hands on somebody, you don't have to say any words. It happens anyway.
Well, the anointing was so heavy last night that God just was healing people right and left. And I believe right now that what God wants to do with all of us, he wants us to motivate us. So, because many of us are just kind of sitting idly by. We're not on the offense. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. He gave us the great commission to go. He said, those who believe in Mark chapter 16, verse 8, he said, those who believe shall lay hands on the sick. Or sorry, 16:18, it says, they shall recover. So this is a promise from God, from Jesus himself. He said that those who believe, so if you're a believer, he's commissioned us to go out and lay hands on the sick.
Well, in the States, I've prayed for people and say a short leg or whatever, and they see what happens, and their legs are balanced now, and then they say, how'd the game go today? You know, it changes the subject immediately. They don't respond with, wow, that's great.
You know? Well, what it reminds me of is the other nine lepers. You know, the miraculous power of God comes into their life, but they just carry on their merry little way, and they don't come back and fall at the master's feet and say, what did you heal me for? What is the purpose of this demonstration that you did this? I didn't deserve to be healed, but yet you did. And I think it really demonstrates where our heart is. If we're hungry to see the Lord and actually want to know the truth, then it should have some sort of effect on our heart. It should have a change in our behavior. It should humble us that God is revealing himself to us, just like it did to me. I mean, I was a lost sinner, partier. I didn't know the Lord, but I did. I wanted to know if he was real. I mean, I thought about how many times I should be dead, and that's actually part of the reason why it really affected me like it did, because I knew all along that there's got to be a reason why God had kept me alive all these years, you know, from when I shouldn't have been born. My mother had appendicitis when she was 6 months pregnant with me, and this is back in fall of 1956. Not a whole lot of good technology as there is today, and I lived through the surgery, and then I had pneumonia when I was about two, and I lived through that, and I sank to the bottom of the swimming pool when I was four, and some little 12-year-old girl swam to the bottom of the pool and saved my life. But this is just a story one after the other that God had rescued me. And I always thought, you know, there's got to be a reason why I'm alive. And I think if you really look back on your own life and you begin to really seek the Lord, Lord, why am I alive? Why am I where I am today? What is your plan? What is your purpose? And even people like today, there's many people that are moving here, really seeking the Lord on the purpose. They feel like they're supposed to go somewhere. And I found that the greatest change in our life comes after we leave our familiar territory and our comfort zone. And I was thinking about this the other day that, you know, many of the people that left Europe to come to America, they were just ordinary old people. They weren't any special superstar people that left Europe to come to America and they became superstars in American history. They were just ordinary people that became very extraordinary in a different land. And the greatness was inside of them, waiting for them to go to a new place, going to out of their comfort zone or leaving to go with a purpose. And I think God is trying to rearrange the puzzle pieces. Many people are on wrong tables right now. God wants them to go to the nations. And there's a purpose and a plan. And part of that purpose is to be able to walk out the giftings that God has given each one of us, you know, the teachings. Many people, maybe they used to pray for the sick that are listening right now. Maybe they used to do more, but now they're doing nothing. Maybe they're not using those gifts. I know many people that have gone through training courses like how to pray for the sick. They were so excited when they first learned that God can use them, but what are they doing today? Are they still praying for the sick? And I really, you're a great encouragement because you've never lost in the nearly 30 years now, you've never lost that fire of that first experience of seeing a miracle and the fact that God wants to use each one of us.
Well, I saw Charles Hunter and Francis too just pray for the sick and they recovered. Francis would pray for somebody with cancer, and I remember one case, a man came in and he was pale and yellow and he looked like he was dead. And she prayed for him and he left and he came back in again about an hour later. He was pink and red and jumping all over the place, and his total complexion changed.
Wow. I mean, we were so blessed to be around these two people. And, you know, what was really interesting is that no matter where you went, whether I was at an airport with them or sitting on an airplane or at a restaurant, you know, they would witness to anybody, flight attendant, they'd be praying for somebody right there on the airplane. Mm-hmm. It didn't matter. You know, there was no, they weren't two people that just wanted to, just be seen. So it wasn't something mm-hmm. that they just did in public, but in private, they were two different people. They were the same in front of people or when nobody was looking. They were always out there looking for win souls.
The bag boys at the stores that came with their luggage and their stuff that they bought, they would pray for them.
Yeah, that's right. They're always looking for anyone. Everybody was an opportunity. So we're just really excited that God gave us this opportunity to be able to see what God can do in an ordinary person's life. This is really who God's looking for right now. He's looking for ordinary people that are just willing to step out of their comfort zone. I remember when I actually went through this class, How to Heal the Sick, when I was just got saved, and I decided, well, I'd like to know because I'd spent 8 years trying to get into medical school, and I always had the desire to see people well. I didn't get into medical school. I got an interview down in Houston my first year, and the next year I didn't get an interview, so I started a paint and body shop. But I always had the desire to want to see people well, and so I thought, well, maybe God had this all along, that maybe he wanted to use his power to heal the sick, not necessarily a medical degree. So I was in the back of the room, and I'm trying to just mind my own business and just watch this class or just see what's going on. And I remember they'd had a ministry of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, maybe a class or two before, and this is getting toward, like, there was like a 7-week class, I think, at this time. And so I'm back in the back of the room trying to mind my own business, and the leader of the class asked for people to come forward that needed prayer. And so there's about 100 people in this class, and about maybe 10 people, maybe 20 people came up to the front for prayer. And then he said, I need volunteers to have people come up and pray for these people. So maybe 10 people, you know, volunteered. And he said, now we got to start picking volunteers. So I don't know. Somehow he looked back at me at the back of the room, you know, trying to hide. And he said, well, why don't you come up here and find somebody to pray for. And so I did. And there was a lady, I remember, never forget this, but there was a, I walked up this lady. She was a fairly tall lady. And I asked her what her problem was. And she said, well, I'm having terrible headaches. And so I just did what Charles and Francis had taught about if you have headaches, maybe you have back, maybe your back, your neck's out of position or something. So I had her hold her arm straight ahead just to check her upper back. And sure enough, her arms were about maybe an inch difference in length, you know, when she held her arms out. So I said, well, that's a good start. So I remember I just put my hand on the back of her neck and I prayed for her. And I said, in Jesus' name, I command all the pain to go and the muscles to relax. I can't remember all I said, but right there in front of my eyes, you know, her hands evened out in front of me. And I looked at her, you know, I was kind of shocked as what I was seeing. I looked at her face and she's crying. And I thought to myself, oh no, I think I must have hurt her, you know? And I said, what's wrong? And she said, nothing's wrong. All my pain's gone. And then I just kind of like, wow, God will use me? I thought that was really a revelation because I'd wonder if God really had forgiven my sins when I asked him to. And it's like he'd let me see that there was a chalkboard that was erased and that my past was my past. He wasn't going to hold my past against me. You know, I was ready to go into my future. And it's like it was just a demonstration, not only to see this person healed and God wanted to use me, but also it was an evidence that my past was my past, that the future was my future. And if I would just walk in obedience, that it was going to be great. So it's just exciting when God begins to use an ordinary person like you or me. And it doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter if you're 93 or a little boy. I mean, I've seen little children pray for the sick and see many miracles happen just from a little child. And I actually sometimes some of the biggest miracles come from the little kids. They just have the faith just to believe. There's no mm-hmm. there's no reason not to believe. So I know that I have to go back to the States for a couple weeks and get back soon because we have more classes to do. This is
amen,
only the first.
Amen.
We have a school of that's going to go on every Wednesday night. And so this will be a 4-week class. And so we're just excited because God is trying to equip his body to the work of the ministry. And what's really exciting about being here is people are hungry to get equipped to do what God wants them to do. And, you know, part of our journey is being trained and to learn how. I mean, that's what Jesus did with 12 disciples for 3 years. He trained them how to do what I do and just follow my example, follow me. And, you know, it's exciting when you find somebody that's actually following the Lord. And that's what really Charles and Francis Hunter were to me, was I got to see a demonstration of two people who were obedient, that put other people's health in first and foremost in priority of their life, that they wanted to see people well, and they love people enough to do that. And I think that the compassion of the Lord was inside of them, and I think that compassion spilled over into us. And so now we're just going and making disciples, just like the Lord did with us.
Well, in my travels with the Hunters, I saw so many miracles with them, and then with my own hands, in Jesus' name, so many things happened that just like yesterday, I can remember it. I can see what they were like, and so I'm happy to tell people about it.
Well, you know, every time you pray for somebody and they get healed, it's just it reignites your fire again. It ignites that passion. That's why it's so important, I think, for all of us to just stay fired up. And, you know, when you see God touching people's hearts and touching people's lives, you know, it's just, it does something to you. I mean, it does something to them, but it equally does something to us. You know, it changes us and it fires us up, and we all need to keep that fire going. I know that, this is, a journey and all of us are on it right now. And, you know, you're willing to step out of your comfort zone and, you know, you've been in the oil business for many years, and this has always been something that's been probably more important than anything else, was traveling on where the hunter's going, you know, where's the next meeting going to be. And you've always, you know, made a priority that whatever, if they've got a meeting going somewhere, you drop whatever you're doing and reschedule the trip.
My biggest mistake was not to record the diary of each meeting, because I didn't do that. And now I can't remember everything.
I know. I look back at some of the diary that I did keep a journal for a while of some of the miracles, and I thought, why didn't I do this the whole time? Because it had been remarkable to this remember all these, because I read this journal. I've forgotten just about everything that I'd written down. You know, you were talking about one of the greatest miracles that you saw happen. I think it was in the Philippines. Why don't you share that one miracle that you were a man that was paralyzed, I think.
He came
up with two people under his arms.
I had been doing the video work, and I was packing up my stuff, and I looked up, and two ladies were coming towards me with a disabled man in between their arms, and so they were carrying him. And so they asked me, could I pray for him, that he was paralyzed from the waist down. And so I said, yes, because I set him down in that chair right there. So I thought to myself, wow, Lord, you got to be in this one. And so I prayed that the spirit of life come back into his body, and he'd be normal and could walk. And so he spoke Tagalog, and that's the Philippine language, and he didn't know English. And so I just motioned with my hands to come to stand up. And he stood up and walked away, and I was just absolutely shocked that happened. But I thought, well, he'll go down and come back in again and say thanks or something. But I never saw him again.
I think some of the biggest miracles happened, you know, in some of the foreign countries that we were at. I mean, just even right here in Panama, we came back in 1991 to the city of David, and I'll never forget that experience. But there were more deaf and blind people that were healed at that meeting down at that baseball stadium in David than any other place that we ever went. And it was really interesting, because there was a special spirit of unity that had come upon the churches, that they were all worked together in such a powerful way. And I think that's why there was a greater demonstration of God's power with the unity of the churches that worked together. And I think this is a good lesson for the churches, that we need to get in one accord with the Lord, and then we'll be in one accord with each other and go out and do the work the Lord has for us. So this has been an exciting day. We got just about a half a minute left, Ed, but thanks for joining us, and I'm just looking forward to your return, so we can keep the fire. You need to keep spreading the fire.
That's great. That's just great.
Yeah, so thank you again for joining us on Strength for the Journey. Again, our website is strength4thejourney.com, and we'll see you next time.
I will be strength for the journey.